There are several potential sacred sites of worship that link heaven and earth. It is Shiloh that will first serve as such a site, and we will learn why this stairway to heaven was ultimately destroyed. But once Jerusalem is chosen, then the Almighty will emphasize that it will be there and there alone that Israelites will connect to the heavenly domain. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, Episode 4, Stairway to Heaven. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Yehuda Amichai is one of the most acclaimed of modern Israeli poets, known for his reflections in verse about Jerusalem, the city in which he lived his whole life. In one of his most well-known compositions, Amichai centers on the seesaw, what was once for us an elemental experience of the playground, transforming what was obviously an early childhood memory into a metaphor for the sacred city. To walk in Jerusalem is to intuit the way that it links us to our ever-present past, so that those who lived in Jewish history suddenly live again. And yet, Amichai adds, sometimes it is terrifying to feel so profoundly connected to those who have gone before, to feel so directed by divine destiny. And there are those who have sometimes sought less of a link to heaven and desired a greater grounding in normalcy. Here is the poem. I have drawn on earlier translations with some edits of my own. Quote, Jerusalem is a seesaw. Sometimes I go down to past generations and sometimes up into the sky. Then, like a child dangling on high, legs swinging, I cry, I want to get down, Father, Father, I want to get down, Father, get me down. And like that, all the saints go up into the sky. They're like children screaming, Father, I want to stay up on high, Father, don't bring me down. Our Father, our King, leave me up high, our Father, our King. It is a famous poem, one of the most well-known of modern metaphors about Jerusalem, the city as sacred seesaw, alternating between generations. But there is another image provided us by an unlikely and more famous 20th century poetic performer who may not have had Jerusalem in mind when he first gave this phrase to the world. This was the musician Robert Plant of the rock band Led Zeppelin, who titled his composition, Stairway to Heaven. The phrase and the song, one of the most well-known in the history of modern music, was not necessarily biblically inspired. But Plant was preceded by a romantic poet who, as we shall see, already conceived of this image. Understanding this will also teach us why Stairway to Heaven is the perfect description of Jerusalem, concisely capturing what the city continues to mean to Jews today. We have seen so far two themes made manifest in the earliest biblical appearances of Jerusalem, in two successive stories, in two successive generations. In the meeting of Abraham and Melchizedek, we encounter the city of Shalem, secure, unconquerable, and seemingly the site of a monotheistic ministry. Then in the tale of the Akedah, we journeyed beyond the ancient city's walls to Mount Moriah, where later there will be an altar erected and a dwelling place created for the divine. We move now to the next generation. Isaac's son Jacob deceives his father, receiving blessings meant for his brother Esau. Esau's anger is extreme and Jacob flees, journeying from Beersheba. Genesis chapter 28. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was setting. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Let us pause to ponder these verses. We are told that Jacob came upon a certain place. That is how the verse is often translated. But a more literal rendering is, he came upon the place. We have seen this phrase, the place, before. It is the way in which Mount Moriah is described in the Akedah episode. And at first, all that Jacob experiences would also apparently indicate that it is precisely this sacred site where he spends the night. And he dreamt, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above him and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee I will give it and to thy children. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. A ladder set up on earth. This is how the sentence is often translated, but note Jacob's realization. He stands at an entryway to the gates of heaven. Would Heaven's Gate have a ladder leading there? An equally plausible translation of the Hebrew verse, V'hine sulam mutzav arza, is therefore a stairway from the earth leading to heaven. And an astonishingly beautiful depiction of Jacob's dream has been given to us by the poet and artist William Blake, describing, as many note, a true spiral staircase to heaven. But what is this site where Jacob sleeps, where Jacob dreams? We are told that this is a future house of God. Can it be anywhere other than Jerusalem? There are commentators who do indeed say so, but what comes next in the verse indicates otherwise. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El, but the name of that city was called Luz originally. Beth-El, or Beit-El, as we know from later in the Bible, is located in northern Israel, some distance from Jerusalem. How then is this site celebrated as a house of God at the gates of heaven? One possible explanation can be found in the fact that for several hundred years before Jerusalem is conquered by David, the Israelites will worship, first and foremost, at the tabernacle in Shiloh. Rabbi Yaakov Maidan argues that the original biblical site of Bethel is adjacent to where the tabernacle in Shiloh stood, and that Jacob's dream thus predicts the site of this house of worship. Throughout Deuteronomy, Israel is instructed to bring sacrifices to Hamakom, the place selected by God, and it will be Shiloh that will be selected before Jerusalem, serving as a spiritual stairway until Solomon's temple is built. The point seems to be, and here I draw on the scholar Yoel Elitzur, that there are certain locations in the Holy Land that serve as stairways to realms above and beyond us, and each one is worthy of the biblical term, Hamakom, the place. The Talmud, in a mysterious phrase, emphasizes that Jerusalem on earth is sacred because it is linked to Jerusalem on high, Yerushalayim Shel Mala, a way of describing the heavenly realm. When Israel enters the land, there are several potential sacred sites of worship that link heaven and earth. It is Shiloh that will first serve as such a site, and we will learn why this stairway to heaven was ultimately destroyed. But once Jerusalem is chosen, then the Almighty will emphasize that it will be there and there alone that Israelites will connect to the heavenly domain. Not all will heed this divine decree, for as we will see, Jeroboam, first ruler of the northern kingdom of Israel, will attempt to compete with Jerusalem by selecting the site of Jacob's dream, Bethel, as the location of a new temple, an act that will bring about his own undoing. There are several stairways, but Jerusalem, once chosen, will stand alone. William Blake's depiction of Jacob's dream was no mere artistic endeavor. A stairway to heaven was what he sought, and he expressed himself in a poem that would become one of the most famous songs in Britain, titled Jerusalem. It concludes, "I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land." Blake's spiritual longing is understandable and given exquisite expression in his art. And to this day, the song Jerusalem with Blake's lyrics is sung annually at the London musical celebration known as the Proms. We have sent you a link to the performance, in which you will see tens of thousands of Englishmen singing of building Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land, a striking reminder of a once biblically inspired culture that has been almost entirely abandoned. But the truth is that Jerusalem cannot be built in England or anywhere else. Once selected, once sanctified, it is Jerusalem that will forever onward serve as this stairway, the place on earth that links us to heaven and thereby to the generations past. Thus, whether or not Jacob slept that evening atop Mount Moriah, it is his dream, and to my mind, Blake's beautiful depiction of it, that truly captures the nature of what Jerusalem will become. It is the ultimate place where one can link to what is beyond us, where one can ascend the stairway to heaven. So many of you listening to me today know what I mean, because you understand that to walk in Jerusalem is to feel suddenly a portal open to the past. We feel at that time as if we stand at the foot of such a stairway, one linking us to those who have gone before. Throughout his poetry, Amichai eloquently expresses the feeling of this phenomenon in various ways, but also, at times, how exhausting it is for him to feel the demands of history that seem to claim Jews in Jerusalem. Thus it is in another composition that he poetically puns off the fact that the Hebrew word for Jerusalem can be seen as being comprised in a deliberately plural form. In Hebrew, ending a word with the cognate ayim denotes multiplicity. Thus, yad in Hebrew is hand, whereas two hands would be yadayim. Regel is foot, raglayim is feet. Thus, Yerushalayim, he punningly quips, connotes two Yerushals, two cities. He writes as follows. Why is Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, always two, the heavenly and the earthly? I want to live in an in-between Jerusalem, without banging my head up above or gashing my feet below. And why is Yerushalayim in the dual form, like yadayim, hands, and feet, raglayim? I want to live in a Yerushal, singular, because I am just I, singular, not an ayim. Amichai, in other words, is plaintively expressing, why need I be constantly bound to the past? Why must a Jew in Jerusalem on earth feel suddenly as if he is standing at the foot of a stairway to heaven? I am only an individual. Why need I sit constantly on a seesaw? Why must I feel obligated to ascend the stairway to heaven, to the Jerusalem that is above? But the truth is, as understandable as his instinct may be, it is not quite right. We are individuals, but to be a Jew, and in truth to be any person of faith standing in Jerusalem, is to feel first and foremost part of something larger than ourselves. It was the hockey coach Herb Brooks, famed for his miracle at Lake Placid in the Olympics of 1980, who used to tell his players that when you put on your uniform, the name on the front is a heck of a lot more important than the name on the back. The truth is that it is as part of something larger, through our connectedness to others, that we find our true individual roles. And those others to whom we are connected are often no longer living, but our connection to them is no less real. For it is only linked to those in the Jerusalem above that we can truly live as Jews. There is a moving tale found in several sources online, including an article by Yochanan Gordon in the Five Towns Jewish Times, which reports a tale told and personally experienced by a Belgian Jew named Fivel Shapiro about Kol Nidre, the opening prayer of Yom Kippur. Many years ago, Fivel Shapiro came from Antwerp to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Alone with the Rebbe, he was handed by the spiritual leader a letter that the Rebbe had received years before, one written by a woman who was dying. The woman knew that she would leave young children without their mother, and she was writing the Rebbe to ask him to pray that God take care of her children, to allow them to grow into sources of pride to their parent, who was departing to the heavenly Jerusalem. Suddenly, Fivel Shapiro realized that this letter was written by his own late mother to the Rebbe, for he had lost his mother as a child. His mother in this letter was referring to him. Overcome by emotion, he asked the Rebbe if he could keep the letter, for he had so few objects from the mother he loved. The Rebbe said no. He wanted to keep Fivel Shapiro's mother's letter for himself. Fivel did not understand. After all, the Rebbe received letters from individuals from all over the world. And the Rebbe explained, I need this letter because I read it right before Kol Nidre, right before I go out to pray. And I cannot say Kol Nidre without reading your mother's letter. We are not truly who we are on earth without our link to those in Jerusalem above. The story of Jacob, whether his dream took place in Jerusalem or not, is another step in understanding what Jerusalem will become. The place where we feel most bound to those who came before, bound to those who loved this city so, from David to Akiva to Judah Halevi, and bound to Jews around the world, to humble husbands and wives, parents and children, who dreamt day after day of standing in this sacred city, which links heaven and earth. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together with you next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.